Welcome everyone warmly to today's seminar, and I would like to introduce Francesca Forno, who is an associate professor at the University of Trento in Italy. I had the pleasure of going to my first East conference in Trento, and I have very fond memories of the city, so I should maybe insert that quickly here. She teaches sociology and the sociology of consumption there, and her research interests include civic participation and social change, and she has published and done research on political consumerism, collaborative consumption, grassroots initiatives, and grassroots initiatives on social eco-innovation and alternative food networks. And she's joint coordinator of the University of Trento's COACT research group on collective action, change and transition, and also the associate editor of the journal we briefly talked about earlier, specializing in the analysis of social and political participation. I'll hand over to her for the name properly pronounced.
Partecipazione conflitto.
Thank you very much. And you will talk about in your talk about the topic of from grassroots to platform, the reconfiguration of alternative food provisioning in an online world. And we're really looking forward to your talk. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for your invitation and also for giving me the second chance. It's the first time it went over. And I have prepared a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, just to be sure that I will respect the time. I think that I have organized my talk that I will talk about 30 minutes, a little bit longer. I don't know now, it's always difficult to measure. I have to say in advance that, of course, I'm presenting different piece of thoughts that we have half published, half we are thinking about, that we have actually developed during a European project that ended a few months ago, that was called Platform, where I combine my earlier studies on grassroots food movement, no new food movements, with this new area of studies that is how these how consumption, sustainable consumption, reconfigure in the internet. I mean online. So I will give a presentation, try to combine my earlier and my more recent studies. And also you will see there are also reason and thoughts that are not conclusive. I mean, are thoughts that are taking shape, no? Because we have collected a lot of that data at the moment we are thinking how to conceptualize and reorganize, and this is also why I was so happy to present to you tonight this evening, because I think that also your question will show probably something that you might find interesting in the data we have collected, and also in the advancement in the interpretation that we are trying to make on this data. We are at the end of the day. I'm a little bit tired today, but I will try anyway to do my best to be clear. Okay, this is the online outline that I want to follow. So I want to depart from briefly summarize the problem, the main problem related to contemporary food provisioning, production and consumption, because I think that is very important to start from pointing out the different questions related to food consumption and food production in the conventional food chain. Because only in this way we can understand why we have seen the mushrooming of these grassroots initiatives that I have dedicated a lot of part of my research on the last 10, 12 years. Especially what I've studied for a long time with a really big and in-depth research is a kind of grassroots initiative that is very, very much spread in Italy, that are solidarity purchasing group of family that join together to buy directly from the farmers. I did this study, I think that was 2012 with a couple of colleagues when we all we were researchers at the University of Bergamo. It was a very important starting point for all of us. Just to mention their name, one is Cristina Grasseni, who is now a professor of anthropology at the University of Leiden in the Netherlands, and the other one is Silvana Signori, who is actually still in Bergamo, and she is a business economist. So we joined the three competencies, and many of the thoughts that I have developed over the Plateful project originated from this big study that we did. But then, of course, I mean, over the last few years, and especially after the COVID-19, all these grassroots initiatives had to confront with a new environment that increasingly digitalized. And digitalization, if we think about, I mean, when I read the first attempt to rethink alternative food networks jointly with new digital technology. These studies that I read, they saw a lot of potential in digitalization of alternative food networks. So actually digital tools for enlarging, scale up or scale out alternative food networks. So this is also one of the starting point of our platform project. Then of course COVID-19 happened, and actually the pandemic actually happened exactly in the middle of our project. We were studying alternative food provisioning online before the COVID-19, and suddenly the COVID-19 started. We went in every country in Europe, went in lockdown, and of course this pushed the provisioning of food much more online than before. This obviously I don't like to say this, but obviously for us that we were researching exactly on the topic, this was a very interesting opportunity to see, to watch closely, very close, the reconfiguration of online food provisioning, alternative food provisioning online. So I want to describe a little bit of the platform project in its different work packages, because they have followed a logic that is more or less the one that I just summarized to you now. I want to go through the key results, some of the key results, and then concluding with this idea that alternative food networks are somehow trapped between social innovation and platform capitalism, with a lot of attempt to co-opt and reformulate the initial intention of this grassroots organization. But this is also something that we conclude in one of the first paper we publish in GeoForum, thinking about possible scenario. And I will I will present at least the first conclusion with these four scenario, also to debate if they are still valid, because we published that paper at the beginning of the pandemic. And then I would like to make the final conclusion with a new project that I feel very much in line with these findings of platform. And we have been collecting data over Zoom in a community supported agriculture that we actually helped to organize, because we would like to see, we would like to experiment with in action the difficulty of reconnecting consumption to production. So this CSA that we are actually We helped to set up was a laboratory that started, I mean, we call it our living lab that started immediately after the pandemic. And we are observing with a lot of instrument how consumption and production change when consumer and producer try to how can I say, reconciliate their time, their expectation, their labor, and the way of acting. So this is more or less the itinerary that I want to do. Okay, so if we, I mean, we obviously should depart from the contemporary food system and sustainability. I think that we know, I mean, there are no doubt that the contemporary the conventional food change is unsustainable. I mean, there are lots of reports, a lot of governmental agency, national and international, that the state is, and also put the attention of actually that is important for me for the that this unsustainability has three components: environment and social and economic. Environment, we think obviously had emission, biodiversity lost, reduction, soil and water production, but it has also a lot of social problem, like the disconnection, the flattening of practices, the loss of knowledge. Here we will see that this is quite an interesting area in social innovation around food, because what do these practices try to do is reconnecting, making a lot of efforts actually, but also try to synchronize, resynchronize practices that have been desynchronized. If we think about seasonality, for example, but also with time, I mean, and the loss of knowledge. And this is something that we as a researcher working on this field, we experience even during our own research. When I started to work with this CSA experiment, for example, I noticed that I didn't know many of the vegetables that these farmers, local farmers, the name local farmers were producing. So there is a lot of loss of knowledge. So there is a lot of social issue related to contemporary food system and sustainability. And then, of course, there are the economic issue. The over-exploitation of labor. This is a very hot issue in Italy, but I heard that it is a very hot issue also in Switzerland that I wasn't aware, but actually there are colleagues that are doing some research, so it is a problem. Price squeeze, the fact that farmers are not paid enough, not only in the global south, but also in the global north. Marginalization of small scale agriculture, that is, of course, is linked to the fact that we are losing biodiversity if we lose small scale agriculture, local agriculture. So there are no doubts anymore that this is the consequences of the way we produce food, but also the way we eat food, we choose food. So if we can see that there are structural changes, but also individual changes connected with the unsustainability of contemporary food system. If we think about the structural changes, we can refer, for example, to the affirmation of industrial system, the standardization of production, that create a sort of vicious cycle that means that cheap food is linked to the dynamic of job insecurity and poverty that are increasing also in the global north. But on the other side, there are also some micro individual changes that reinforce these vicious circles that, for example, the fast and urbanized life, the disconnection from the rhythm, and the territory that is, I mean, the fact that, as I said, we are completely disconnected when we choose food with seasonality, for example, but also with our local environment, as we can buy food that comes from the other side of the world. For example, yesterday night when I was finalizing this presentation, I checked Amazon Fresh, that I will recall it a little bit. I've been at the end of this presentation, and there were asparagus on offer for very few euro that comes to Chile. No? So we are disconnected. And of course, I mean, who studies this are aware, but the majority of people don't think about, don't look, and there are findings here, no, that we are disconnected. Loss of knowledge, as I just said, the seasonality, conservation, cooking, reuse, what has been called the diffusion, within the diffusion of what has been called imperial modes of living, that also took to the standardization of a diet that has been reinforced very much to, with this habit that has developed everywhere. Of eating out, no, and I think that this is a almost complete picture of the many arguments that are going on now around food. So, as a scholar of social movement, I know. I mean, since I started my PhD on this issue, I mean, not on food movement, but on social movement in general, that when there are growing discontent among society. But the institutions are not able to find solution to respond to civic demands. Usually something happens in the middle, no? It takes the form of new organization that maybe can link to one another, create a social movement that can also be very influential, no? Politically as a pressure group. So if we think about this growing demand around food, that obviously we have seen in many countries, but also the fact that the institutions are not responding, although we have now a lot of programs like the Farm to Fork, the European New Deal, they are actually also these, we can read this as an answer to this grassroots mobilization and to the fact that the food is now a topic of great attention among the population, the general sort of population. So what happened in the middle between citizen demand and the misreply answer from the institution? That we have started to see, at least from the 2000, from the new century, but with a big increase after the crisis in 2000, the economic crisis of 2007 and 2008. But also now, I mean, with the pandemic, I was listening to a presentation a few months ago of a group of scholars, again, based on the Netherlands, that they were presenting, anyway, their research is cross-country research, and they were showing the number of community-supported agriculture in Germany, and there was a clear link between the crisis of 2007 and 8 and the last time due to the pandemic of this community reorganization to actually buying food altogether, connecting directly with the farmers. So we have seen in several countries the setting up of concrete form, new infrastructure, for direct sale, also known in the literature as alternative food networks. We have seen, for example, the mushrooming of local markets, local farmers market, solidarity purchasing group that is very, very much an Italian organization. But for example, I just read a few days ago a paper that was discussing the diffusion of community-supported agriculture in Wales. So this is very much a spread phenomenon. What do they do, these alternative food network? Well, they create new spaces for citizen involvement. They develop new political meaning around food. They provide a new meaning to the act of eating that goes beyond feeding. Mm? And this is really something that is happening within these new spaces where people discuss and bring to the fore, bring out a new meaning around food. The food is not just something that you feed yourself, but it's something that is relates also with the environment around you and the protection of the environment. And within these alternative food networks in the different forms that they take in different countries, there is something that we have studied with Cristina Grasseri and Silvana Signori that I mentioned before when we looked at at the Solidarity Purchasing Group, we see very much the fact that within these groups, you restart to think about the importance of daily life and sustainable diet. This is a much newer concept than that I learned after actually I studied the Solidarity Purchasing Group. But when I started to study this idea of sustainable diet, I immediately realized that within that research, we had exactly these. I mean, these people working to reach a more sustainable diet. No, I remember these findings that we found particularly interesting of the decreasing of meat, the increase of local produce in their diet, of organic products, but also the attention these people before actually became a very important issue, generally speaking, of the attention of reduced food waste. And then there is also this attempt to re-territorialize and reconnect through direct social action the agriculture, the urban area to the city. And what they do actually in these alternative food networks, it is very linked with what theory of sustainable consumption, especially the theory inspired by practices theory says. What actually happened in these grassroots groups is the resignification of food, so giving food new meanings, but also learning by peer, from peer, new competencies, so reskilling, and also changing the infrastructure and also the material that goes around in this new alternative food network. So they are really kind of arena, forum, spaces where there is a lot of co-learning within it. So our question was, what is happening when you transfer this networking, co-education mechanism from the offline to the online? So we approach also the grassroots, the platform project also with this idea in mind. So, and we started to read about grassroots organization and the challenges of related to digitalization. And we saw, for example, in the first attempt to talk about this issue, and a lot of expectation on the fact that new platform, digital platform, could actually help. They went, if we think, very in line with this idea conveyed by alternative food network. Reflection on the use of digital tools as a way to ease alternative food action was present at the beginning of the debate. Because if we think the possibility of digital reconnection between production and consumption could make it easier to buy directly for farmers, because obviously it could have been easier to shorten the supply chain, the horizontal inclusion of actors, like in grassroots offline initiatives, social cooperation, of course. Platform, digital platform can also help social cooperation if we think about buying and selling. And it could be also reinforce this idea of becoming an instrument to direct knowledge beyond physical proximity. But what we saw with empirical data that we collected, and I will now pass to the findings, the main findings that we, some of the main findings that we gained from this project, that never really happened. Alternative food networks, offline alternative food networks, grassroots food networks, has really a problem to actually transpose their action from offline to online, at least until the COVID-19 happened. And the pandemic obviously changed rapidly the situation. Here are some data that we collected just to show the differences. Just think about the Italian situation. Obviously, this project, platform project, was a project, a European project involving five different countries. These are the figures just for Italy. But just think that Italian, before the pandemic, only 5% of the Italian used to buy food online. There was a big difference between, for example, the figure that we collected, these are Eurostat data in Germany. But of course, after the pandemic, the situation changed radically. I mean, the percentage raised up quite a lot. So the pandemic had a big responsibility on pushing also the people to buy food online. A little bit of background of the platform project before showing some data to you. As I said, it was a project that involved five countries: Norway, Ireland, Germany, and Sweden, and Italy, of course. What we aim was to study the configuration of new digital infrastructure around food, and I will in a moment explain why. We adopted an overall approach to food practice. We wanted to study with a series, we made 45 interviews in the Italian case, but each team collected between 40 and 50 in-depth interviews. We wanted to study from the planning of what to buy to the waste. Our focus was actually looking at concrete consumer practices. So we had divided the project in three phases. The one was that actually occupied a lot of time, was an in-depth mapping of the main digital platform active. Just think about that this mapping exercise that took quite a lot of time ended in 2019, before the pandemic. And with this mapping was very, very important for us because we collected information on 211 sites. And we created a code book and a code sheet that helped us to take note of the different characteristics of these 211 websites. Thanks to this mapping, we were able to study, because we had this idea in mind that the structure, the infrastructure, the way of the infrastructure, well, the infrastructure was built had an effect. We had this idea, we wanted to check if this had an effect also on the learning, the co-learning activity that we saw in, for example, in solidarity purchasing group offline. Then we, thanks to this mapping, we were able to divide, to recognize some three ideal type of structure of this online platform. Then we selected different case studies, platforms actually, and we went inside of it, choosing for each of them 10 informants. We selected a town in Milan because at the time before the pandemic, these kind of initiatives, they were very spread only in big town in Italy, and mainly in Milan was very much a northern country phenomena. And we selected three digital platforms that I will show you, they have different characteristics, especially to understand which kind of food was in it, but also what were the practices on the part of the consumers, and if the consumer had the possibility to learn something using this platform. I mean, if their diet changed because of also the infrastructure of this platform. And then we did the phase three with an online survey distributed to the utilizer of this, the user of this platform, and we were able to connect 587 reply answers. So we have a quite big source of different data that we collected in this project. So the first finding that we achieved with this mapping was we recognized immediately that within the web pages, let's say, that were selling food in Italy, we could recognize a distinction, a differentiation, not just in Italy, in all the five countries. And we worked out with this distinction between pipeline and platform. Pipeline are actually digital reproposal of the typical physical store. So they were not that interested for us. Instead, we found 31 platform that actually provided a virtual space and also some rule of interaction that actually facilitated the reconfiguration, the online reconfiguration of alternative food networks. And when we started to look the scripts, the infrastructure of this platform, we could recognize that we had in front of us mainly three different types of digital food platform. The one that we call local food delivery platform are actually infrastructure, digital infrastructure that are not very different as any kind of intermediator. This the intermediation here is very strong. Actually, the platform, who is managing the platform, does everything by itself. On the other side, we had another configuration of platform that we identify as food assembly. Interesting type that has diffused in many countries, where actually the importance of this platform is that usually orders selling and buying happen online, but when you go and need to collect them, you usually collect them in a physical place, where in some cases you also encounter, if you are a consumer, also the farmer. So there is a lot of, there could be exchange there. Instead, in the first type, there is no exchange. And the third one is interesting, is another model that we found, that are digital platforms that work somehow asking consumers to self-organize. So there is a lot of networking on these digital platforms. And we were able to find three examples of each of these digital platforms. The idea was looking at the different mapping, what we had on the ground, try to make sense of the different structure, then select for in-depth interview consumers that were utilizing these different platform, because we want to control also the effects of the infrastructure, of the learning, of the changing in people diet. So we selected three cases that are here described also with some picture. We had an artist also in our group, Margherita, and that we selected the case of Cortiglia, L'Alveare Che Dice Sì, who is an assembly. So Cortiglia is a local food delivery platform. L'Alveare is a food assembly platform. And Buon Mercato is a grassroots online food platform. The differences are noted here. For example, Cortiglia is a non-participatory infrastructure offering fresh food from local producer online to be delivered directly on the front door. So there is not any interaction, and mainly Cortiglia as an organization and a platform does everything by itself. And you will see that this has quite a lot of consequences. Then there is the Alveare Che Dice Sì, that is a food assembly. It is interesting because, as I said before, there is a centralized IT technology, IT service, that can be essentially described as a digital farmer's market. No? So, farmers put what is on offer and the consumer can see what is on offer and they can select, and then usually they go to a physical place to collect what they have prepaid and pre-ordered and prepaid. So it is interesting in this way. Buon Mercato is something different because it's a digital not business infrastructure based in design. This is very important for maintaining and stimulating networking among consumer and between consumer group and producer. It is interesting because the mechanism of buon mercato is something that is spreading again in many countries. They in exchange with efficiency and time saving, actually this infrastructure, organizational infrastructure, ask consumer eaters to take part to the organization, so to exchange the free time that the digital platform give to them to spend in managing in a collective way the platform itself, the order. I mean, the platform doesn't do everything by itself. I mean, buon mercato asks to consumer to be active, for example, to share the burdens of distributing food, to be there in their headquarter to distribute food, and in this situation they can chat, they can exchange suggestion. Here are some key results of this in-depth interview, and also coming from also from the online questionnaire. The fact that the search of good food somehow regarded the quality, also the social equity, because we asked them, I mean, why you started to get your food on this digital platform? Quality, social equity, environmental sustainability, a more pleasant shopping experience, reducing packaging. It was very interesting for us. We were not expecting this, that some motivation, many people has said that for motivation that they wanted, they adopted this way of buying food because they wanted to reduce the plastic packages, for example. these are where people that, especially, of course, in the more participatory platform, they were willing to invest more in the participatory platform, more time, and on the less participatory platform, more money. Mm? Looking for convenience, no? That regarded whether it was more participatory or not, price of or time, no? The time, just keep in mind that our case study was Milan, where time is a precious resource. Mm. Mainly they were buying fruit and vegetable, but then we noticed also that the shopping, at least our informants say that shopping through this new avenue platform, they help them also to change their shopping bag contents. There was an increase in consumption in seasonal food and vegetable, a decrease in meat consumption and fish. There was a lot of experimentation and self-production that we noticed that increase among our participants, and in some cases also we noticed that there was they actually pointed to us that I mean, buying food through this digital platform also helped them to reduce food waste. Because there is a lot of much more planning involved in buying digitally. We are talking about not ready-made food here. We are talking about fresh vegetable and fruit. What also we noticed, we were expecting this, but we learned a lot interviewing people that we were not expecting, but we wanted to check this idea that platform design really matter a lot. Where platform make mutual learning action possible, like for example through convivial moments, we notice also that our informants often say that they learn new skills, they had new knowledge. There was kind of a more profound exchange in practices, no? So this is also something that we notice in my early studies of grassroots movement organization, food movement organization, like community supported agriculture, well, the Italian version of solidarity purchasing group. But here again, we saw the same things. I mean, that conviviality really helped to go through a more deep deep change, profound exchange, profound change in practices and consumption and food consumption habits. Well, just to come to some conclusion that, that will also underline other data that we collected along the project. The platform project aimed to study the infrastructure of online food consumption, in particular in terms of sustainability, in terms mainly to this concept of sustainable diet that was at the time, still it is, very little explored. It focuses its attention to consumer practice through in-depth interview and online questionnaire. And what actually we found? Well, we found that, for example, many digital platforms that we found in our mapping had these views emulating the structure and the discourses experimenting at the level of food movement organizations. So in Italy, there was a lot of, for example, words or reference to solidarity purchasing group in platforms that were not bottom up. Actually, in our mapping, we found within the 31 platform, 9 platform, only one that was actually at the time a digitalization of some grassroots, really grassroots experience. All the other, included the one we studied, about Buon Mercato, were actually entrepreneurs that tried to emulate the sound like grassroots initiatives. Although in some cases they are used by grassroots organizations, like in Buon Mercato, we found Buon Mercato not through the mapping because it's a very localized local initiatives. But anyway, there are grassroots organizations, especially after the COVID, that use actually online infrastructure to broaden their reach and capacity to involve citizens as in the role of consumer. The majority of what we found is still top-down organization. And that is also something that we were not expecting results like this. Between grassroots and plateau, there are an ongoing dynamic of appropriation. This is also something that we found it very, very clearly in our findings, that there is this dynamic of appropriation, cooptation. When market actors appropriate the innovation created by alternative food organization provisioning of good food, anyway, good food tend to be tend to extend outside the niche. That is one of the matter that scholars who are investigating this grassroots initiative are concerning with. But anyway, since the intermediation is very hard, very, very, very intensive, obviously the price of food increases. So it is like that when there is an appropriation, like in Cortiglia, the price goes up and they became very exclusive. I mean, we noticed this through our survey, no? That this kind of platform that do a strong intermediation tend to be very costly and exclusive, although they offer their food to a wider number of people than in grassroots initiatives. And this is also something that we discover, and I wanted to point out this, that despite the limited number, grassroots online food platforms should be taken more seriously. And I think that this study has also stressed this, because they are small, small experiments. They don't have the resources often to build a digital infrastructure. But what we observe in Buon Mercato was something very interesting, that not only this platform was able to enhance more profound exchange among participants, but they were also more inclusive. So the idea of having a platform that is more convivial is very important also to make bigger changes towards a sustainable diet. And this was very clear in our findings. These are the conclusion of one of the papers we published on these results, as I have anticipated before, we at the time when we finished the first part of the study, we were working, imagining we were just entering in the pandemic, and we were imagining what possible scenario. because everything was very quickly changing at the time, no? And we imagined four mainly scenarios: back to normal after the pandemic. We now know that we are not back to normal, not because the pandemic has not ended, but also because as our habits, as some habits of us are, have been changed. There is also a lot of efforts from big players that aim to colonize the entire food distribution. If I think I mentioned before, Amazon Fresh is an interesting example of this dynamic. We have seen also mass retailing digitalizing more, but also some success of this diffusion of some food platforms that were capable, that have been capable of responding to demands of environmental conscious consumer. This was is clear, I mean, in the spread of the, all these initiatives. These are the two papers you might want to go and deep what I just reflected to you. And just to finish out, I just wanted to stress the fact that this kind of grassroots initiatives are important. I mean, they should really take more seriously, because they can really make probably a possibility to shift the world. We are out of it, we are zooming it with a lot of and thanks to the participants of these initiatives also, that they actually are curious also to self-reflection, self-reflecting through our data collection. We are doing participant of observation. We have distributed shopping diary to understand what they were eating at the very beginning when they started to do this experience. We have surveyed them online, both consumer and producer, because we want to work on the different labor of reconnection, no, between consumer and producer. And we have now just finished to do in-depth interview with all of them. And also we ran last week a focus group, because we would like really to shed some lights on this hard work of reconnecting. As we think that this is something that I always thought since I started to work on solidarity purchasing group, that this experiment, grassroots experiment, might contain some mechanism that we might be able to understand deeply and help the diet of people to go towards a more sustainable path. I mean, using them like living lab, or at least this is the way I would like with my small group of research going through in the future months. And thank you for listening. And it took me a little bit more time, but now I'm switching off this.
Thank you very much for your presentation and giving us some insight into the platform project and your next projects. I really enjoyed it. I have a question, but I would first ask if there's another question in the room. I'd be happy to open the floor for questions to you.